Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Back to Dublin West, that constituency now, and our panel, we have, this time round, we have Fianna Fáil's Jack Chambers, Solidarity People Before Profits, Ruth Coppinger, and Labour's candidate John Walsh. You're all very welcome to the programme. We're going to talk about housing and healthcare and education and infrastructure. But can I start first of all, because it does strike me, since we have People Before Profit and Labour and Fianna Fáil in among us, that John Walsh, as a Labour candidate, you find yourself in a very coveted position here. It seems, based on the coverage, you're being courted by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael for to be in a coalition with them as an option after the general election. But you're also being asked by the parties on the left, let's form a left alliance here and let's give a real alternative. What's your preference?
Well, Cormac, firstly, I'm very happy to be here for the Dublin West constituency debate. The first thing I'd say is that Labour is fighting this election as a separate and distinctive party. We have an ambitious and progressive vision for the country, and we're looking for number one votes for the Labour Party, and we're looking to elect the maximum number of Labour candidates.
We know all of that, but we also know it has to be a coalition. What's your preference? Left alliance or Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
I think Ivana Bacic, our party leader, has, I think, taken a clear enough position here, and what she said is that after the election, and we hope to get, you know, substantially improve our position in the election, but after the election, the Labour Party will engage in discussions with like-minded parties.
Don't make me come after you, John, in this one. I'm not asking for Ivana Bacic's opinion. Oh, I am asking for John Walsh, the Labour candidate's opinion.
I'll tell you, Cormac, there's no way we're going to prejudge the decision of the electorate. There's no way that I, in this programme, I'm going to...
I'm saying to you, it has to be a coalition. And Labour is in a position where it could do a left alliance, or it could go back into government with, say, for example, Jack Chambers and Fianna Fáil. At the moment, what is your preference?
Well, our preference is to fight this election as an independent party, get the maximum vote that we can.
You're not telling your voters.
You're not telling your voters what your preference is.
Well, our preferences.
Yeah, well, no, our preference immediately after the election. We very substantial differences with all three major parties.
Okay,
with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and with Sinn Féin. So we're absolutely not going to prejudge the decision of the electorate here.
What do you say to what you're hearing from John Walsh?
Well, the first thing I just want to say is that the first coalition that I've engaged with is Solidarity and People Before Profit, is two socialist groups that have come together to give a genuine alternative, a socialist left alternative. So obviously we would favour a socialist government that would transform the situation in this country, that would use the massive wealth that we have to build public homes, affordable homes, resolve the crises in our health and education system.
But Labour seems to be hedging its bets.
Yeah, well, I think we all know the score with the Labour Party. It's 10 short years since Labour was in a rotten government that imposed austerity, that brought in the water charges, that tried to bring in the water charges, and so many things. And
they would say stabilise the finances and the exchequer and so on. But it seems to me then, and maybe I'm wrong, you convince me if I'm wrong, if they're hedging their bets on the left, and there's a disparate group of parties and voices on the left, it doesn't seem coherent. So is it a wasted vote then to vote for Solidarity, People Before Profit?
Absolutely not. What I see myself and what I say to people on the doors is that I would be a strong challenge holding the government to account, using my position to organise with communities, to organise campaigns, to build movements. For example, last night, the March in Town against Gender-Based Violence on the International Day was organised by myself and Rosa. And that's how I want to bring those issues centre stage into the Dáil.
You're saying a left alliance would be real change. Would it be difficult?
But it's very important to mention this as well. Change comes from outside government, not always inside. Mm-hmm. So repeal the water charges, and recently the campaign that Eimear Curry claimed she led from within the government as the Taoiseach's, former Taoiseach's right-hand woman in Dublin West, we led a campaign with Parents for Autism School Places, and it brought about the task force that the government has had to set up in Dublin West.
Which we discussed in this programme. Can you convince me, Jack Chambers, that a coalition after the next election, if it were to happen, of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Labour would be real change? How would it be different?
Well, look, you're getting ahead of what's going to happen on Friday, and we have a vote of hundreds of thousands of people who'll cast that as they're engaging with the electorate presently. And
it's your party leader who mentioned Labour.
So all I would say is that no vote has been cast, and people have to decide what shape they want to see the country go in the next 5 years. We're very clear we want to protect the economic progress that we've made over the last 4 years, protect jobs, investment, the enterprise economy, which has brought, gives us the ability to invest in public services, reduce the tax burden on workers, and ensure we can invest in the long-term future of our economy and housing and healthcare.
So why would Labour be a better partner than the Green Party in doing that?
Well, what we've said is that we obviously are putting forward our positive action on a lot of policy areas and what we want to see implemented in a programme for government. It's a matter for the Irish people to decide what shape they want to see.
Why
the
is
next
your
government
party
does.
Leader, for example, mentioning Labour as a in preference?
He referenced Labour. Yeah. He's referenced other parties that are close to the political centre.
In recent reports, he's mentioned Labour.
He may have, and
he did.
And it's a matter for the people to decide what shape.
I just wonder, why does that present change?
We're fighting every day to win as many votes for Fianna Fáil, to maximise our mandate to bring a stable, strong government and put forward the actions we've set out in our manifesto. And that's the context in which we're fighting the election.
Okay, so you can make of those answers what you will, voter. Can we talk about infrastructure in Dublin West? Because people complain when you talk to people from Dublin West about transport links and how effective they are, particularly now if you're going to crisscross the county instead of just going in and out of town. Ruth Coppinger, Solidarity People Before Profit, you want free expanded public transport, is that correct?
Absolutely. It's absolutely vital for climate change that we get more people using public transport, and we can only do that if we have more of it available and more of it free. And unfortunately in Dublin West we have a real horrific deficit of transport. So even though we have a much bigger population than, for example, Galway and Waterford, we've no Lewis, we've no Metro. We've been very badly served even by having Taoiseachs and ministers who've never actually delivered on this.
Mm. So what do you mean by free? More buses, or do you mean Lewis, or what do you mean by fully free for everyone? Is that it?
Yeah, and it's been trialled in a number of cities and it's proven very successful. And what I would like to see is more investment so that we have more public transport. We put forward the idea in 2019 of a Lewis to Blanche. Mm. So extending the Lewis from Broombridge to Blanchardstown. So many people in Blanchardstown, ordinary workers, can't get anywhere near the rail line. It is very limited to those who live near it. We need people in Ongar who are absolutely spending 3 hours getting from Ongar to UCD every morning.
Chock-a-block, but imagine how chock-a-block it would be on public transport if it were free for everyone. How would you pay for it? How much would that cost?
Well, I do think we need a light rail system, there's no question, and we should have had one in Dublin West, and I don't know why. Jack will have to answer as to why he's never delivered one.
You're providing a light rail, a new one in Dublin West, and more buses, I assume, and free for all.
We did
what's the total cost of all of that?
Well, in 2019, we did a costing on this, and it was about 600 million at that time. Obviously, costs would have increased, I acknowledge that. But it's actually greenfield, so it would be quite easy to extend from Broombridge to Blanchardstown Centre.
Okay.
And you could then have other phases to Little Pace, to Ballycoolan.
So let's say it's near a billion now for that. How much would it cost to expand the public transport network and make it free for everyone?
I think we did a costing on this and it was 600 million. Let's look at this in the context of the Apple tax billions and the money that's available to this state. But also let's look at the huge cost on people's lives. So people in Ongar, people in many other parts of Dublin West are really suffering from the lack of public transport, spending so much time commuting. You could really improve people's lives.
Jack Chambers, people might scoff at that idea, but in terms of reaching climate goals, and people might be listening to us on buses now that are too slow, take away the cars, make public transport free. Is it a runner in your opinion?
I don't think it's a runner specifically. I think we have to focus on investment in actual infrastructure. We have choices to make when it comes to the resources that are available to any government. And that's why I think for the next 5 years, one of the key priorities will be the delivery of Dart West. It's come out of the planning system. I know many people in Dublin West have complained that they've been waiting about it and hearing about it for too long, which I accept and acknowledge. It's taken too long and through the planning system. But it is now out of the planning system and something that we need to deliver.
How much would it cost?
It's in the National Development Plan figures. It's 600-700 million. I'd have to get the exact figure, but it's set out in the National Development Plan. It'll have to be tendered as well. But it's in the it's presently funded in the National Development
Plan. And delivered by?
Well, that's why it'll take, it'll be a 4 to 5 year delivery time when it comes to its construction. But it will be central to ensuring we've transport-oriented development, that we've a much better commuter experience for everyone across
Wouldn't it be
West Dublin.
Fantastic commuter experience to make it free or nearly free for all commuters?
We've taken action in government when it comes to affordability and transport, cutting transport fares by 20% and a 50% reduction for young people. But we have to balance that against the wider investment needs in managing the public finances. And we want to drive affordability in transport, but also to ensure we drive infrastructure delivery as well.
Dartwest serves a fraction of the constituency. That is the problem. It does not serve the massive communities of Ongar, of Mulhuddard, of Little Pace, of Clonee, who are currently reliant on the 39 bus.
And bus connects,
which I call a coffin ship. And every time an estate is built, it's just added onto the one bus route. You have told constituents there will be new bus routes, but not for another 2 years.
But bus connects,
how long can people wait?
Bus connects again has gone through the planning system.
Bus connects has taken away bus routes, 70 route to Clonee, for example.
But it is trying to put in place the infrastructure to give a much greater and reliable journey time for commuters that are living
in Dublin
West.
John Walsh of Labour.
Because people are waiting too long as they enter and exit.
What's the solution
thanks,
here?
Cormac. So firstly, Dublin West is completely neglected in terms of public transport infrastructure projects. Dartwest was mentioned. Dartwest is not even fully through the planning process. There's a requirement to put in a further railway order, which was required by Bord Planola, for a depot west of Maynooth. And that could lead to a further delay in Dartwest. Dartwest, even at that, is at least 5 years
away. What's the solution?
So the solution, I think, first and foremost, we need to invest in bus services. The bus service in Dublin 15 is hopelessly underdeveloped. Bus Connects threatens to make the situation worse rather than better by routing bus services, most buses, through the Blanchard.
But it's very hard to get drivers,
Jack,
isn't
Jack
it?
Jack was quite
John,
rightly
hang
critical.
On a second here,
I'll address that, Cormac, but I could just finish the point. Jack was quite rightly critical of that as an opposition deputy, and it's still wrong now that Bus Connects is going to route most services through the Blanchardstown Centre, which is absolute traffic black spot, particularly at this time of year.
So more buses, you say. Where would you get the drivers?
We need to invest in public transport. We would commit a further 10 billion of additional funding for public transport.
Would you increase the pay of drivers to entice them?
What we would do is provide money to recruit and retain bus drivers. I know Dublin Bus are having difficulty doing that.
Would you increase pay of drivers?
That's something that could be looked at, but I think in the first instance...
My question is, how do you entice more... John, look at me. How do you entice more drivers?
Well, I think we do need to improve pay and conditions for drivers, but I think we also need to ensure that Dartwest actually happens and that we have an integrated bus service.
Do you agree on that, Jack Chambers, of Fianna Fáil? You need to improve the pay of Dublin bus drivers to entice them.
To pay in terms and conditions of bus drivers through CIE or through Go Ahead, who separately operate some of the bus services, is done separate to the political process.
What's your opinion?
And is negotiated. Well, there has been a significant increase in recruitment of drivers across the system. Hundreds of more drivers being recruited in the last number of years to actually provide for leaving because of
antisocial behaviour.
No,
and
that's why we propose a transport police in our city and for Dublin more generally. There is a safety issue of concern that I've heard from many constituents, and that's why Fianna Fáil has set out in its manifesto to establish a transport police so that there's much greater security and safety for people using
our
public transport system.
Jack, you were in the Department of Transport for a number of years and you didn't do any of these things.
We invested in public transport.
Yeah.
Significant increase investment in public
active
travel.
People are hearing you calling for all of these things now. The key issue is this. Go Ahead has driven down the pay and conditions of workers. Workers are literally pulling their bus in and eating their lunch on the side of
the
road.
They would say it's competitive, I'm sure, in the market.
It's going backwards, and Go Ahead doesn't arrive on time either. You can't drive down people's wages and conditions and expect them to work.
I'm sure they contest that. Can we move on?
Could I just say, Cormac, there's many areas of Dublin 15 that are very poorly served by the bus service. For example, Hollystown has no direct service to other parts of Dublin 15. So parts of Dublin 15 are actually a public transport desert, and we really need to address that.
Okay, can we move on to how housing for a moment, because we discussed this with the last Dublin West panel as well. Can I ask you, Jack Chambers, and Fianna Fáil has claimed in the campaign so far significant progress in housing. Can you explain to me, as a Fianna Fáil candidate in Dublin West, why And you can correct me if I'm wrong, you have to wait 12 years for a social house in Dublin West, or 20 years if you have a disability. Why is that so?
So Fianna Fáil took on the challenge of housing 4 years ago, and because we wanted to provide unprecedented level of intervention to support greater levels of social and affordable housing for communities in Dublin 15 and people across the country. And that's why if you look at overall housing delivery, we've gone from 20,000 per year in 2020 to over 35,000 per year this year, and we want to get to 60,000. And within that, we want to significantly increase the supply of social and affordable homes.
Why 12 years?
But if you look at the delivery of housing by Fingal as a local authority, well over 2,000 social homes delivered by Fingal in the last 4 years, and as an example.
But you're
and
not
the pipeline
answering my
is
question.
Increasing. But obviously, there are many people that are continuing to get social housing. You referenced Churchfields an hour ago in the previous programme.
So can I ask you this?
We are seeing some progress. I accept for many people they're waiting too long.
12 years, Jack.
Too long, I accept that. Yeah. And that's why we want to take action in government. That's why we want to put forward actions around investment on housing.
If I'm in Dublin West and I'm waiting 12 years and I hear you say we need to take action, does it lack credibility at this stage?
No, absolutely not. Because when you look at the record of delivery, if you look at the fact that the level of housing commencements in the last 12 months, for example, the level of delivery of social housing, we had nearly 11,900 social homes delivered in 2023.
But your record of delivery has left people waiting 12 years for a social house.
We had a decade of undersupply and underinvestment.
You're blaming Fine Gael.
I'm saying we had a decade of undersupply and underinvestment.
When Fine Gael and Labour were in power.
And we took on the challenge of housing, and we're keen to do more and make sure the state plays a greater role. Okay. That's why we want to capitalise the Land Development Agency
I'll come
further
to in just
with,
a second.
With,
do you
with
want
increased
to retort,
investment
John
in
Walsh,
housing.
He's blaming Labour for that.
Well, I suppose just to say, I mean, the basic problem here is that local councils and the state haven't built houses for decades. And they're only just beginning to do that. And
I'm saying there was an undersupply for many years.
Labour were in power.
Well, actually, Cormac, it was governments under Bertie Ahern that started the process of handing over housing supply to private developers. And we all know how that ended with the complete collapse of the property bubble.
Now you're blaming Fianna Fáil. This love line between Fianna Fáil and Labour is going bitter very quickly.
Can I just make a quick point, Cormac, which hasn't been made already? A huge problem in Dublin 15 is that we have 31 inactive planning permissions, where not a shovel has been put in the ground. That's more than that's almost half of the planning permissions granted since 2018. No building has occurred there at all, and that's more than 5,000. Can I just come to that? More than 5,400 homes that have never been built, and that people could have had 5,400 people who could have had a home, and they haven't been able to get it.
Could have wanted though.
Why is that? It's because developers are hoarding land. They're engaging in speculation and they're hoarding land, and the government parties, all of them, have failed to act on that. And what the Labour Party would do is bring in a use it or lose it clause where developers either build the homes that we need or they lose the planning permission. And that would make a real difference.
Isn't that happening already?
There is residential zone land tax.
Yeah, but the residential zone land tax isn't working.
It's starting, I
think what's needed there.
How is that different to what you're proposing?
It's very different because it would ensure that rather than relying on developers to solve the housing crisis.
They lose planning permission, they have a tax if they don't use it, so what's the difference?
It would be a change in the law.
So they'd lose
a statutory requirement.
So under your plan, they'd lose. Hang on.
They would have planning.
Let me get clarity on this. Lose planning permission. So you're back to square one. No housing anyway.
No, not at all. This would activate inactive planning permissions.
Or else they'd lose planning permission.
No, you simply have a situation where developers build the homes that we need, or within a 3 or 5 year period, they lose the planning permission.
We cannot rely on
private companies to sort out the housing crisis. That's the first thing that we have to recognise. Even the top two building companies actually directly employ about 300 people, and the idea that they have the ability to sort out this problem. The state has to provide the lead here. We need a state company. But just to say, Churchfields has been mentioned as this great project. Churchfields was a plan that I drew up with Solidarity councillors in 2017. We identified the land, which was sitting idle there from the council. We got an architect to draw up a plan. We made a video. We got a drone to make the video to show this land and what it could achieve. And we embarrassed Fingal Council into acting.
And hang on a second. If you were in power, that wouldn't be built because you need a state construction company, don't you? Because we don't have that, do we?
No, well, obviously the councils can build and are building on this now. That's what I'm saying.
They don't have the numbers to build.
No, they don't. We need to recruit a lot more building workers.
How long would that take?
Well, can I just say, though, that this project is now being boasted about by Jack? But it came... This is important. It came as from outside the system, if you like, ordinary people demanding that this was built. There's another land bank that Fingal Council has that could resolve the housing crisis in Dublin West. It could build 7,000 homes. I've brought it to the council's attention. They said that they will look at moving it from long-term, 20-year, to short-term. We need Dunsink, Elm Green, Scribblestown, that land bank to be developed so that we have essential workers.
You're boasting about her work, people. Jack Chambers.
No, I think, look, to be fair, I think everyone in the politics across the board of all political parties in Dublin West want to see greater delivery of social and affordable housing. The difference between what Ruth is saying, what I'm saying, is I got elected and tried to enter government to fund these projects, to make these happen. So that with the 1,200 social and affordable homes that are being built in Churchfields are now going to see progress for families across the board. And that's why being part of a government that takes
that
action,
that
ensures, that ensures the state plays a bigger role, is why I want to
enter government. You're saying she'll never enter government.
Well, that's the problem. If you're not willing
Ruth,
to enter government, if you're not willing to take action, take responsibility, then things don't progress. And that's central to this election. Do people want an economy that can deliver outcomes?
It's funny that
socialists have put forward the plan to resolve the housing crisis in Dublin 15. That we have the land, we have the money. Fingal Council itself has about 470 million in liquid assets and cash. And of course, the state has money as well. The council could build without borrowing a penny about 2,000 homes.
You have the plan, but not the will to enter government, is
what
Jack Chambers.
Well, of course, I want to build.
Would you enter government?
I would love to be in a left wing government, absolutely. Well, with other left parties and forces, unfortunately, we're in a position where we don't have that right now.
So no is the answer, really, effectively.
That's why I've spent my life trying to build.
Yeah.
We need people to engage more in politics. We don't have that.
Yeah.
We,
okay. Cormac, if I
really
just come in
before the break. Yeah.
Very briefly, Cormac. No, just to say, we have a constructive plan on housing. What we want is to convert the Land Development Agency into a state construction company.
So that's what it's
and
doing.
That would give the, that would give the state, that would give the state, that would give the state
that's
the lead
is,
in building
John.
Housing.
Okay,
I know, Jack, stop interrupting me like you did to Hildegard Nocton there.
In a line, what's the main difference between what you're proposing and the LDA?
It's fundamental. It would build at much greater scale. It's engaging in large scale building of social and affordable housing, and it would have a direct build capacity.
Okay, and Jack Chambers is saying that's what it is at the moment. Look, we'll be back with Jack Chambers of Fianna Fáil, Ruth Coppinger of Solidarity People Before Profit, and John Walsh of Labour, and we'll discuss healthcare after the break.
Tweet at DriveTimeRTE.
You're welcome back. We're with Dublin West candidates Jack Chambers of Fianna Fáil, Ruth Coppinger, Solidarity People Before Profit, and John Walsh of Labour. You have four key priorities in Labour for health, you say, John Walsh. Extending free GP care, directly employed GPs, resolving the recruitment issues, and digitalisation, more beds and more buildings and so on. How is that different to anyone else?
Well, I think it's different because we have a constructed, costed programme to transform healthcare. That includes investing in primary and community care, extending free GP care to all, valuing healthcare staff because we have a recruitment and retention crisis in the health service.
Mm. What's the key difference?
Also need to,
this is going to be rapid fire.
We
now,
also need to,
Key difference.
Key difference, it's a constructive, radical and distinctive policy and it's attainable, it'll work.
Jack Chambers, it's LaunchaCare that you're all proposing, effectively, isn't it?
Well, look, there are different proposals and priorities for different parties. One thing we've set out is an additional 2.5 billion euro to have more 25,000 more staff working in our public health system to address the ageing demographics that we're seeing and to ensure we build better services and more affordability for healthcare as well. And extending free GP care to all children aged 12 and under is a priority for us, and also reducing the cost of medication by the drug payment scheme going from 80 to 40. So cost of living is a core component of bringing affordability in healthcare, but also investing in the staff, the people, the backbone of our health system. And that's what's central to our plan, is to ensure we build on the 30,000 staff that we've recruited in the last 4.5 years with an additional 25,000 staff.
And given the hundreds of thousands of people who are on a hospital waiting list and the thousands of people on hospital trolleys and the scoliosis crisis and the crisis in terms of GP access and so on and mental health and A&E conditions under a Fianna Fáil health minister, do you think Fianna Fáil has credibility in proposing health measures?
Absolutely. Well, if you look at at the, first of all, the investment, and if you look at overall wait times in across many areas of our health system, wait times are starting to fall. I accept for many people listening this evening who are waiting too long, they don't see that, or if people have been on a trolley, they haven't seen that, and I acknowledge that there's
the
work to do.
What's the big achievement that you would point to?
Well, I think, look, the management of COVID, protecting and supporting.
Outside of COVID, and in terms of reform?
We have the number of ICU beds, we have additional public beds across hospitals in our country, the level of recruitment actually. Healthcare staff, doctors and nurses are the backbone that run our health service. And the fact that we've got 30,000 more working in our health system and that we want to build on that, that's at the centre of reducing waiting times and supporting the level of intervention required when it comes to managing trolleys and all of the other issues in our health system.
Recruitment is an extremely strange boast to make, because at the root of the health crisis is the fact that we can't recruit and retain health workers and many other workers in this country.
But thousands more have been recruited in the last number of years.
Well, for example, Connolly Hospital, which is in Dublin West, it's the main hospital. I've spoken to consultants and nurses, and the hospital is not allowed to recruit. It doesn't have its own board. So it's doubly hit by the sneaky recruitment ban that this government has brought in. It's reliant on agency nursing, which is not safe. There's no continuity of care with agency nursing. Physio is being rationed at the hospital because they cannot find physios for love nor money.
What's your solution?
And well, the other scandal is many OTs, etc., are working in the public sector, and we can't clear the CDNT waiting lists, you know, to help people with children with disabilities.
Do you mean they're working in the private sector?
Yeah, they are, because obviously they've been driven out. It's just so stressful.
So what's your solution?
Well, our solution at the root of it is the housing situation. We need affordable homes to be built so that we can retain essential workers in this country, teachers, nurses, you know, physios, OTs. And until we do that, for example, you could look at a city allowance. There's so many solutions that could be looked at. And none of them are being looked at. There are people who are coming back from abroad who aren't getting incremental credit. So many things that could be done very, very quickly by this government to release more workers into the workforce.
Okay. So there we must leave it, unfortunately. I know we could go on for a lot longer and discuss a lot more issues, but I really, really appreciate your time this evening. Thanks to John Walsh of Labour, Ruth Coppinger of Solidarity, People Before Profit, and Jack Chambers of Fianna Fáil. They are the candidates in Dublin West for our second panel. I can tell you that there are lists of declared candidates. They're included in constituency profiles on the RTE News website, and you'll find them at rte.ie/constituencies. Genuinely, the very best of luck to you all in the rest of the campaign.